It is good to see everyone this morning. We are at the Wayne County Bible Center on Sunday, September 2nd, Brother Ricky. I'm doing better now. In my original announcements, I thought it was still in August. So if you're listening on the website, we certainly appreciate you being with us. Today's message is entitled God's Answer, Nothing Doubting. We'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 30 in a moment, looking at the life of David as we've been doing for the last several weeks when we've been studying repentance and forgiveness of sin and cleansing. But today we're starting out in Acts chapter 11, and we're going to look at Peter, something he said when the Lord revealed to him there was nothing unclean dietarily and there was no one unclean humanly speaking. And it was for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which first went to the Israelites. It was okay to take it, or it was God's will to take it to the Gentiles also. And Peter had struggled with that. I want to show you something he says. Last week, we looked at David when he was in a dilemma. And he said some of the most frightening words a man can say. The scripture says, he said within himself, I think this is the best plan for my situation. And then we went to five or six other scriptures where it said David inquired of the Lord. And he asked God, and God said, go do this, David. Well, today we're going to look at one of the God said in David's life in 1 Samuel 30 and how he said it and why he said it. But before we do that, I want to share with you a New Testament Holy Spirit indwelt individual that also makes a statement that I think is awesome and one we can aspire to. And we'll look at it again, good Lord willing, in a few moments. But the scariest words a man can say is, you know, I've been thinking about this, and I think this is the best thing for me to do. And I'm talking about Christians. Because we've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and all the wisdom of God available to us. And we've got the Word of God available to us. And prayer. And so we'll look at that today. But the most wonderful words ever spoken through Jeremiah is God speaking. I know the plans I have for your life. So I don't want to come up with my plan for the best way out of this mess. I want to seek His. But notice what Peter says. After having the vision with the Lord concerning taking the gospel to the uncircumcised or the Gentiles, in verse 11 of Acts 11, the scripture says, and behold, Peter speaking, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was staying. God sent three men to kind of give him affirmation and confirmation. God works this way. He works through circumstances. He works through others. He works through the urgings of the Holy Spirit. Sent from Caesarea unto me. But this is what I want you to read. And the Spirit told me to go with them, nothing doubt. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we went to the man's house. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as I come to you today, I ask forgiveness for daily sin and weekly sin. I confess these to you out loud in my prayer closet, and I don't have to confess them to any man. But I can confess them to my sweet Jesus, and Lord, I pray for more intensity in my godly sorrow, and I pray for more of my will power to meet up with your Holy Spirit in true repentance and change of behavior and thought pattern. And I pray to have any unrighteousness removed so that it can be replaced with your righteousness. So, Father, I ask to be cleansed by your blood. Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you. Anointed by your Spirit to teach, in humility as I wash the feet of these who are listening, and filled with your Spirit, Lord. Give me a filling of your humility and meekness, a filling of your energy and strength and joy and peace to share your truth. But Father, above all, your Holy Spirit's the perfect teacher. So let us all open our hearts and our minds and bow them unto you, me included, and let your Holy Spirit speak to our hearts individually. May we allow that to happen. We ask, come, Holy Spirit, speak to me. That's our prayer. In the quietness of this moment, would you pray that prayer? Come, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, take over. May you be glorified, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, now look at this. In verse 12, and the Spirit told me to go with them, nothing doubting. I want you to understand, my dear friend, that is what we ascribe to as a New Testament, born again, child of God, indwelt by the Spirit. The Lord wants you to know what God wants you to do in your life. The Lord wants you to know how you are to live, what decision to make, to say yes or no, to go left or right. Nothing doubt. And you say, Brother Leo, how do we know that? Because in James, he condemns the man who lives a double-minded life, always wandering, always bobbing about to and fro, always throwing darts at a board, or making decisions as if they were lost people and didn't have the advantage of the Holy Spirit. So I want you to understand, you got two main areas of your life. You got seasons of your life. Brother Leo, what's a season? Well, back in 1993, the fall of 1993, I went through a season where I knew God was leading me out of the traditional ministry. Probably began in October. I knew God had something else for me. I was pastoring my second Southern Baptist church at the time. God was blessed. And God bless, I got to pastor two Southern Baptist churches and was privileged to leave them while God was blessed. But the Holy Spirit told me without a doubt it was time to leave. And folks would say, what's wrong? I'd say, nothing's wrong. Well, why are you leaving? This is something I've been dealing with for 4 or 5 months. God's got something else for me. And in North Carolina, folks would say, what does God have for you? I say, I don't know. Right now, I'm going to preach revivals, do some interim work, that kind of stuff, and I'm going to wait on God. But I know God's telling me it's time to go. Where are you going to move? Well, not right now. And for 4 or 5 years, my wife and my son stayed in Brevard, and you folks know the story. I traveled back. But I went through a season, and then in 1999, I went through another season where God started dealing with me, saying, you need to move to Wayne County. I didn't know that I'd ever move to Wayne County because in my mind, I was going to start a church in Charleston. I was helping you folks out here in Wayne County, in my mind. But there was no way I was going to make a decision based on what was in my mind. I was going to be still until God said, okay, now it's time to go to Charleston. Which if you're listening by website and don't know my background, that's my hometown. Then the Lord started moving upon me for a season, for 3 or 4 months. And we started looking at houses, and God moved us to Wayne County. And I've been here, now these 18 years living here, but started ministering here in January of 1995. Now, you have seasons in your life that you need to be able to look back on and say, man, the Holy Spirit moved on me, nothing doubting, and that's why I'm here, or that's why I'm there, or that's why I took this job, or that's why I asked this woman to marry me, or that's why I went to school here, etc., etc. So, you need to understand that. Decisions in career, decisions in life, we are not getting saved by the Holy Spirit and then Him leave us alone until we go to glory. Amen. You to have a relationship, one aspect of that is having the wisdom of God and direct answers from Jesus. Not saying, well, this job offers $60,000 a year and this one offers $30,000, I ought to take the $60,000. That's how man does it. It's not how God works. Now, He'll use horizontal circumstances. But the leadership of His Holy Spirit's got to be the priority. So you might be sitting here today and you might be saying, Brother Leo, I have never in my life had an experience like we just read about in Peter, or you just spoke to me. Well, we're going to look in a moment at how we build to this and how everyone needs to build to this. So, isn't that wonderful? The Spirit told me to do this, nothing doubt. Now, there are seasons in your life, but there's also every day. Every day. And I want you to understand, we might think we got big decisions and little decisions. Little decisions where we go the wrong way without the Spirit's leadership can lead to a disaster. And what we call little decisions, when we go the way the Holy Spirit, might lead us to an open door that'll change our life. So understand, there is no happenstance. There is no luck. There are divine appointments and divine circumstances and people. You know, three men knocked on his door. God had already told him, you need to go visit this man. And after God told him that, three people knocked on the door and said, hey, we've been sent here to bring you to this man. You know, what more can God do? And maybe He's done stuff like that in your life. Maybe He's doing it today and you're still saying no. All right, let's go to 1 Samuel and let's look at when David did it right. God's answer, nothing doubt. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1, David is going through about 10 months of being out of God's will, doing things his way. He's not been seeking God. He's responsible for about 1,200 people, 600 warriors. Saul is trying to kill him. He is no longer in Israel. He is in the land of Goliath, his enemy. And he's just a band of traveling gypsies. And they're fighting tribes, and tribes are fighting them, and they're just scratching to survive, like a lot of people today. And in 1 Samuel 30, verse 1, it said, it came to pass when David and his men returned to Ziklag on the third day. Now, this is the village where David had set up his camp. The Amalekites had invaded and smitten his town and burned it to the ground while he was off fighting another battle. And they took all the wives and the women and the children captive. They didn't kill any, but they carried them away as slaves. So David and his men came to the city and it was burned to the ground. Their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captive. And David and the people went up in the greatest mourning they had ever mourned and cried in all this chaos. David's two wives were gone. David was greatly distressed. The men that had been coming to him the last year in the cave, the outcast of Israel, they started discussing stoning him because they were so grieved about what happened to their families. And here we go. Welcome back, David. Last week we read David didn't inquire of the Lord. David did what he thought was best. This is the culmination of that. And now we say, welcome back, David. And God will welcome you back. There are a lot of times in life we kind of go off on our own. And the scripture says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, let me stop right there. That encourage in the Hebrew is chazak. C-H-A-Z-A-Q. Chazak. And it means this. It means to attach yourself to. To be bound to. Which will result in strengthening. To be firm in or to be supported by. To cling to. So, what does that mean? That means David said, I'm not coming up with my plan this time. We've lost our wives. We've lost our children. I've come to the end of myself. And right now, I'm going to get along with God and I'm going to grab hold of it. Yeah. Reminds you of Joshua before the battle of Jericho. He leaves the crowd and he crosses the brook and he gets along with God. And he looks up and Jesus is right there, the captain of the Lord of hosts. So David gets alone with God, and then he says this. He says to Abiathar the priest, and there's a whole story on how Abiathar ended up with David, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. Now I'm going to tell you what that is. It's ephod in the Hebrew, or iphod. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? David's saying, what do I need to do? Do I go after them and overtake them? And the Lord answered, pursue them. You will overtake them, and everyone will be saved. Amen. And it happened, as the Lord said. Now, he got a direct answer from God. Now, let me give you the ephod. Or the ephod. That was a vest worn by the priests. And you read about the Mosaic law. Moses gave one to Aaron. And they wore the vest, and it had the 12 precious stones on front of it that represented the tribes of Israel. And so the priests were intercessors for the tribes of Israel. And they would pray for the tribes of Israel. But in the pocket of the ephod, or ephod, was what the King James translates the Urim and the Thummim. In the Hebrew, it's the Urim and the Thummim. And it's two more stones. Two precious stones. The Urim means light, L-I-G-H-T. The Thummim means perfection. And what the priest would do, you could go to him if you were an Israelite, that's only given to the nation of Israel, and you could ask him to ask God a question for you, and the rabbinical teaching says they either cast them as lots, and they would turn up a certain way and say yes or no, or that they would actually glow. It was a miraculous living, I want you to listen to me now. It was a miraculous, living, and active source of God's direct guidance. Listen to how I'm phrasing this. It was an active and living source of God's direct guidance. Now, I'm not talking hocus pocus. I'm not talking Ouija boards and things that Satan has imitated in a demonic way. This is an old covenant spiritual practice given to the priests and the prophets of the nation of Israel, not to the Gentiles. And it ceased with the new covenant, and before then when they were living in disobedience. But the ephod, or the ephod, was a source, a tangible source of God's guidance, wisdom, instruction. So he got alone with God, and he got alone with the ephod. He got alone. Now, he had done this many times, so this was David's practice at a time of chaos and hard times. This is what David would do. He'd get alone with God, cling to God, and get this tangible source of God's direct guidance and ask God questions and get answers. So, I want to say unto you today, I'm going to bring you the ephod. Alright? I want you to get along with God and go to Psalm 119. And this has got to become your practice, because I want you to understand something. You're saying, Brother Leo, this is going to miraculously happen if I've got the Word of God living in me. If I've got the Holy Spirit living in me. Let me tell you something. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is alive. It penetrates. That's what the Hebrew writer tells us. That's what Paul tells us. The Word of God moves upon us, moves in us. And God will use the Word miraculously in your life. But the Word will never be used miraculously if it stays like this. And the Word of God will never be used miraculously if it only gets opened up like this today. So get that concept out of you, all you good religious people that go to church every Sunday and you're going to tell Jesus at the judgment, see how good you are. But what I want you to understand, Psalm 119 starts giving us some important phrases here. Look at what it says, verse 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Now, I want you to notice something. The directing of your ways is a work of God, not you. Oh, that my ways were directed by God to keep his statutes. That happens when you're in his statutes, when you're meditating upon his word. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect, reverence, and obedience unto your commandments. I will praise you with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned your righteous judgments. The Word of God for the Christian is a learning experience. You need to go into the Word to learn. Learn something about yourself. Learn something about God. I will keep and live by your statutes. Forsake me not utter. Now, look at what he says, verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. So, you get in the Word, the Holy Spirit will start teaching you. Verse 11. Your Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. As the Word becomes off the pages and enters into you, you get strength to turn away from temptation. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I'm going to tell you something. You can grow to a point. There are people listening on this website, people in this room. They cannot get going tomorrow morning unless they have a cup of coffee. They got to have a cup of coffee. There are people who are on certain medications that can't get going tomorrow morning until they get that medication. There are people that have morning rituals that they absolutely have to have something to get them going. And I want you to understand something right now. The Word of God needs to be that way in your life. That you can't get going and you are afraid to leave the house without spending time alone with Jesus. You say, really? Well, you don't understand my morning schedule. Well, then let me give you this. You need to be at a place in your life where if you can't do it in the morning, you are afraid to go to bed at night before you get alone with Jesus. Yeah. I'm going to tell you one thing. He created every day. And Jesus said this himself. I created 12 hours to work. I created 12 hours of darkness. Jesus Christ created a schedule so that you would have time for him every day, because every day is a gift from him. Yeah. Every day is a breath from him. You say, Brother Leo, you don't understand. My job's just too demanding. Well, let me tell you something. I hope God's the one that gave you this job. Yes. And if God did give you this job, you better thank him every day by spending time alone with him. Yes. So which way is it, brother? We used to have a preacher in South Carolina. He was on the radio and he knew me well. And he'd come up at the Shoney's or the Perkins, wherever the Baptists hung out every service, and he'd have his suit on. Brother Leo. Brother Leo. And I'd say, David, you are not on the radio. I'd known him all my life because he really had a real voice that was not the religious voice that was on the radio. But anyway, so you can't have both ways, brother. You know, you either God gave you the job. Well, out of gratitude to God, I hope that job he gave you doesn't cause you not to have time with it. So, look at what the scripture goes on to say. Go to verse 23. Go to verse 23. You've got a tangible source of God's direction and God's guidance. Verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but I meditated in your statutes, and your testimony and your word is my delight and my counselors. You say, Brother Leo, how's that work? I don't know what you're going through, but get in the Psalms. Get in Proverbs. Read the Gospels of how Jesus handled something. Get in the epistles where Paul and Timothy and Titus and get in there with James and get in there with John and read some things and have a daily devotional that is established and consistent. And sometimes after you finish it, just open the Word of God somewhere. But I want you to understand, God will speak to you by guiding His Word to what you need to read and hear from Him. It never fails. You know, a lot of folks come to me and they say, you know, Brother Leo, I was going through this and I read my devotional for September 2nd this morning and it really spoke to what I'm going through. You, really? Yeah, I believe it. We are either in a miraculous, supernatural relationship with Jesus or we might as well just come here on Sunday morning and do secular things. And if you don't believe it's miraculous and supernatural, then you've not had that first experience of being saved. And if you have, you're in ignorance that there's more after that. Yes. You know, people always want to condemn folks for coming to church, singing the hymns, going through the motions, and going home. So that ain't the problem. The problem is Monday through Saturday going through the motions their whole life. Yeah. That's the larger problem. Look at what he says. Your testimonies are my count. I get direction from the Word of God. There have been times I've been going through something. I've been laying across my bed with the Word of God in prayer. And man, the power of the Holy Spirit passes over you like peace. Like the peace of a blanket God's laying on you. And I've actually gotten up and walked to where Patty was and said, Patty, now I know. This is what we need to do. This is what I need to do. This is how this needs to be handled. You are the priesthood of the believer. Doesn't have anything to do with Brother Leo being a pastor. It's available to everyone. The veil of the temple, top to bottom. Everyone has access to boldly go before the throne of God and experience this. Now, notice what else he says in verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. I shall keep it. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me, Lord, work of God, to go on the path of your way, your commandments, for therein do I delight. Verse 40, behold, I have longed after your precepts. Enliven me, quicken me, motivate me, energize me in your righteousness. I'll never forget. I was raised Southern Baptist. Patty's mother died the year after we graduated. We graduated in June. Her mother died in November of cancer. I'd never been anywhere but a Southern Baptist church. Now, I'd gone to some of the African American churches in South Carolina, in Charleston, when my teammates would have a parent die, we would go to the funeral. The whole football team would go to the funeral. And they had a lot of life and spirit in their worship. We had a lot of life and spirit in our worship. We had praise worship probably started in about 1972 in my home church. We had drums, guitar, whole nine yards, Southern Baptist. At Patty's mama's funeral, it was the first time I was exposed to Roman Catholicism. Never in a million years did I ever think I was going to be a preacher. Never wanted to be. But I watched the man, the priest, as he stood up there and he was waving this thing and smoke was coming out of it. And they went through a lot of rote, R-O-T-E, dialogue and repeated things. And the congregation would repeat things. Then we went out to the cemetery. And I mean, my wife was crushed. She went into a two-year tailspin where I saw her go down to about 85 pounds. Grieving the loss of her mother. Now, she wasn't my wife at the time. Grieving the loss of her mother and the shenanigans of another mess. But as I stood there as a pallbearer, I can remember thinking, I could do a better job than this in comforting this family. There's got to be more offered to the reality And then I discovered, and have discovered in the ministry, that word quicken, verse 40, quicken me in thy righteousness. It's in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. You know what it means? It means to be made alive. I want you to understand, Christianity is alive, it's living, it's deep, it's passionate, it's energy, it's the Holy Spirit. God sends His Spirit from heaven into your heart when you get saved. And it's not going through the motions and singing a song. And it's not this stuff. There's an energy and a passion. And it's in the Word of God. And it's by the Holy Spirit. Now, I just read to you several phrases. But I'm going to say that. Look, you know what the psalmist says here? He says, teach me, direct me, give me understanding, guide me in the way that I should go. Is that not good? You can pray that. You can open the Word today and say, teach me, guide me, direct me, give me understanding. Yeah. Those are all quotes that we just read. Your statutes, your precepts, your commandments, according to your Word, all what we just read. All what we just read. And then he says this, I will meditate in your Word, delight in, study, submit to, and in your Word, I will behold wondrous things. Bring me the ephod. Bring me the iPhone. Bring it to me. Bring me the Word of God. Your spouse needs to hear you say, honey, we're going through a rough time. I'm going to get my Bible. I'm going to get my journal. And I got to go get alone with the Lord. And we got to work some things out. We're going to have to work some things out. I got to get direction from God in this issue in my life. Your children need to hear you say that. Your grandchildren need to hear you say that. They need to know that Jesus Christ is not a Sunday thing. He is a real thing in your life. Amen. And anything else is total hypocrisy. You know, there's not just a little bit of hypocrisy. What He did on that cross was all in. He gave His life to give you your life. So what do I have? Brother Leo, explain to me salvation. What do you have? I've got a new life in Jesus Christ. I've been made alive. It's energetic. There's an eternal spirit in me now. It's changed. He has changed everything. So we need to grow and we need to understand that. So all a part of the Word of God working with the Holy Spirit will give you a direct answer from God. So, what you need to do is, you need to receive, you need to expect, you need to hear the Lord in your heart, in your mind, specific and direct answers from God. So, go with me to Acts 16. I'm going to close out here in a moment. Acts 16. Well, Brother Leo, I didn't think... You know, I've never been taught this. Well, you know, God forgive us. I've messed up in my teaching ministry in 35 years, and we need to be taught it. Acts chapter 16, Paul speaking. He's traveling. He's going on missionary journeys to share with folks the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, well, verse 5, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Paul's establishing churches. Now, when they had gone out throughout Phrygia in the region of Galatia and were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit allowed them not. That's pretty clear, ain't it, Levin?
Amen.
You know, Paul's saying, we're going to Mysia, and in his prayer time, the Holy Spirit says, no, I don't want you going there. Amen. So sometimes the Holy Spirit says no. Ricky, you might be telling the Lord, I think I need to change jobs. I'm going to go take this one. The Lord says, no, I don't want you to take that job. Brendan, no, I don't want you to take that promotion. No. No, I don't want you to date this individual. No, I don't want you involved in that. No, I don't want you hanging around these people. Sometimes the Spirit says no. You know, I can look people dead in the eye a lot of times, praise God. Patty and I were riding in and I was discussing some things with her. And I said, and I say this a lot to Patty. Now I'm not saying I'm 100% on this in every area of my life, because I'm not. But there are several areas where I can say to Patty, Patty, I have 100% peace of the Holy Spirit in this. Patty, I have 100% peace of the Holy Spirit in this. I say to the church in business meetings at times, you know, this is the way the Holy Spirit's leading me. Not that I can lord over anyone. If the Holy Spirit's leading them in another way, I want to hear it. But I owe it to you to have the Holy Spirit leading me. And when He's not, when I don't know, I have to say that. You know, I don't know where I stand on this yet, but I'm seeking. But I want you to read those words. The Holy Spirit forbade me from going there. And notice what it was, to preach the Word of God. That's a good thing, right? I went to ministry in 1984 full-time. There was 1 year between 84 and 88. I'm pastoring a large, growing Southern Baptist church, 700-and-something resident members. We're running 450 on a Sunday morning. Patty and I'm doing Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Patty's doing young adult Sunday school. Patty and I both are doing training union youth. We run about 80 or 90 youth. I'm doing senior citizens meetings on Tuesday. Taking the senior citizens on two or three trips a year, the youth on two or three trips a year. And we counted 1 year, I did 8 revivals. I'm 24, 25, 26. People said, you're going to burn out. I said, I'll never burn out. I had the world by the tail, man. I burned out. 1988, I was exhausted. My wife was pregnant. And the Lord said, I'm going to have to get you out of this church. We were in the middle of a building program. At the time, a $250,000 gymnasium was going in. We had added on a balcony, a second floor. All this construction's going on. And I walked into the church and resigned. Well, Brother Leo, did you leave them in alert? No, it was already paid for. At one point, there was $230,000 in our bank account. But you know why the Lord called me out? So that I wouldn't make those same mistakes. I got humbled. I went to North Carolina and I could be a husband and a father. See, we didn't have a child those first 4 years. That church was our child. Let me pray with you. Father, as these emergency vehicles are going, I pray that you minister to this situation. I pray, Lord, for protection and healing if someone's hurt. And I pray you watch over these great first responders as they respond. Protect them. Give them wisdom in your name. Amen. Do that every time you hear a siren. Please do that every time you hear a siren. So the Holy Spirit said no. For me in my life in 1988, the Holy Spirit said go. I could have said, but God's blessed. You're blessing. You got to go. I'm saving your family. I'm saving you. Now, go back to where we were in Acts chapter 11 and look at what the Holy Spirit said. In Acts chapter 11, verse 11, the scripture says this, "And behold, immediately there were three men already coming to the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me, and the Spirit told me to go with them, nothing doubting." My friend, you ought to be able to say that about certain decisions you got to make in your life. Certain issues you're facing. I need to do this, nothing doubting, because the Holy Spirit's leading me. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 30. This Old Testament verse, but I love it, and it is true for the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 30. And he's talking about a future time, Isaiah is, for the nation of Israel. And we've experienced some of it. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19. "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. They will weep no more. He will be very gracious unto them at the voice of the cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer you. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, he's going to take care of you." Verse 21. and thine ear shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. There's a voice saying, Leo, this is the way, go. Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to you in a still small voice. Sometimes He speaks to you by urgings and yearnings. Sometimes He puts desires in your heart. Sometimes He nudges you a certain way. Sometimes He speaks to you in a thunderbolt. Sometimes He speaks to you through definite circumstances. And sometimes He speaks to you through people and situations. He'll just send people to you. Now, I want you to understand something. When I'm saying that, I don't mean some. I've had these people do this to me out of the Pentecostal background. Brother, God gave me a word for you. He did. Yeah. He told me to tell you that you need to do this. Okay. So I'm not in touch with the Holy Spirit. And God has appointed you to be the Holy Spirit for me. I had a friend in my church back in North Carolina. He must have told me that 30 times. He was a former Pentecostal pastor. And my reply was always the same. If the Lord is really wanting me to do that, I'll say his name, Fred. You pray that as I get alone with God in prayer, he'll reveal that to me too. You say, well now, Brother Leo, I think that's a good thing. Well, let me show you why it ain't scriptural. Go to John chapter 10. And I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. You're not going to find a verse in there where it says, the brown sheep tells the white sheep what to do. You're not going to see a verse in there where it says, listen to the voice of the brown sheep and follow him. John 10, chapter 9, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out, and he will find pasture. Verse 2, but he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Verse 17, therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. There's going to be a voice behind you. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They know me. And they follow me. Verse 4. When the Lord puts the sheep out the sheepfold in the pasture, he goes before them. His sheep follow him, for they know to listen to his voice. I'm to follow the voice of the shepherd. Now, you can come up to me all you want and say, Brother Leo, I'm really praying for you about this situation or about that situation. I'm praying God gives you wisdom. But goodness gracious, don't ever put yourself between the Lord and the person.
Amen. That's right.
I've been doing this 35 years. The good Lord has never led me to go up to somebody and say, the Lord told me to tell you this. I would fear putting myself in the position of the Holy Spirit. Because you are the priesthood of the believer. Now, well, Brother, what if they're not getting along with God? And what if they're not seeking? That's between them and God.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray for them. But I'm going to tell you something. I got enough things going on in my life where I need to be hearing His voice about me more than I need to be hearing His voice about you. And I want you to understand, you have access. It's your responsibility to hear His voice and follow Him. You can't elevate a man into the role of the Holy Spirit. We've got the Holy Spirit in our heart. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes today. And there may be a situation you're going through where you need an answer from God. There may be a situation you're going through today. I'm going to ask Judy to play softly. Where you just need a direct revelation from God. You need to say to the Lord, lift up the situation to Him and say, Lord, I need you to speak to my heart. I need to start getting alone with you. getting alone in the Word consistently. And Father, I know you're going to give me guidance and direction. So I'm going to ask you to take these next few moments. Maybe you've already made a decision and you just want the Lord to give you more peace about it, more guidance. Ask Him. Seek Him. Listen for His voice. With, as Judy shared with me a while back, with hearts bowed and open, let's seek the Lord for a few moments.